Good morning and happy Easter, although this is unlike any that we've ever known before. How many times have you heard it said, especially when you were in a situation of being impatient, patience is a virtue? And your probable reaction was, yeah, and it's a virtue that I don't have. The title of our lesson today really comes from a prayer that was prayed at least by one guy and probably a lot of us. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. When my son Scotty was 10 years old, he was sitting with me in a doctor's office waiting to see an orthopedic surgeon for a broken right thumb playing softball. And after a two-hour wait, we had read everything sports-related that we could find in that doctor's office, he looks up and says to me, Dad, now I know why they call you a patient. Because in his case, he had really been patient for 2 hours in waiting for me to see the doctor. Well, that's something that we'd never really thought of in that particular context, but it's a theme for today that we need, and we need especially in the circumstance and the context in which we find ourselves. Let me give you an example of someone locally, very dear to us, that we love so much and so grateful that the Lord has spared in this virus. On the front page of the Chester County Independent this past week, you saw this picture of Brittany Lewis bringing Todd home from the hospital after 13 days at Jackson General, 10 days of which were in ICU. I would suspect that Todd does not remember everything about that experience, although he remembers a lot. But Brittany remembers every moment. In the back seats there are Maddox and Sawyer, and on the very back row there is Hudson that you can't see in the picture, but there are three sons. And for 13 days, they had to be patients. Patiently waiting for Dad to come home, even at times wondering if Dad would be able to come home. And we rejoice that from the coronavirus, Todd is the first in our community to be stricken and also the first to go through this particular experience. He is someone that could really demonstrate and talk to us a great deal about patience, much more than perhaps this lesson today. In our text, both for this morning as well as Roy's lesson at 5 this evening, we're looking at James 5, verses 7 through 12. And in this particular passage, in the context of first century Christians being tormented, persecuted, having to suffer a great deal, he encourages them to be patient. First of all, giving an illustration from farming, there's a profession where someone has to be patient. He talks about the farmer waits for the early rains, and of course that's in the context of having plowed the field, having planted the seed, and having provided fertilizer for the growth of the seed to germinate and then to produce the crop that's going to provide a harvest in the fall. The time in between that first rain and the latter rain in the fall that produces harvest, there is a lot of waiting, and there's nothing else that you can do. In fact, in our area, unlike Israel, where that's being discussed, our problem could be not enough rain or too much rain. So he gives the farmer as an example of someone who patiently waits. And we're talking about all of us having to patiently wait and endure this particular pandemic. How long is it going to take? When can we get out of our homes? When can we worship together again? When can we be in Bible class again? When can we visit the sick and all of those who very much are in need of our presence and of our help? When can we go out again and resume all the activities that we have missed for these last few weeks and for a few weeks more? Patience is necessary for our life of faith, refusing to give up the belief that God is at work for us, whether we are aware of it or not. When we're impatient, We do not realize that God works on a different timetable, and if we're his people, he's working things to our good, to our benefit. He knows how long this pandemic is going to last. We don't, and it is in him that we trust. But here's some areas in which we need to think about in terms of not knowing how long something is going to last, and therefore we have to be patient. Circumstances we do not understand, situations that are not fair, whether you're a child of God or not, in relationships that do not work out, in problems where we do not know the solution. If we live long enough, we know that every problem has a solution, but we don't know when there's going to be a solution. And standing for that which is right when everyone else is standing for that which is wrong, and it's the popular thing to do, but it's not the right thing to do. It is in contexts like these where we have to be patient, and especially when you're in a Todd situation where you are suffering even at the brink of death, we have to wait on the Lord. And thankfully, hundreds and thousands of people have been praying for that outstanding young man and this outstanding young family, and we are grateful that they have endured, and we pray that others in that situation can endure as well. There's also an illustration that James gives from Scripture. James reminds us of those who model patience. He specifically refers to the prophets. And you think back in the Old Testament, what it was like to be a prophet, how they were persecuted, how they were tormented, how many of them were executed. In fact, Stephen would ask in his defense speech in Acts 7, which of the prophets did our fathers not kill? But let's think of some of the heroes of the Old Testament that had to be patient. Can you believe how patient Noah and his family had to be in building the ark? How patient Abraham had to be for 25 years waiting on the promise of God to give him the son of promise? How long Joseph had to wait and to endure some of the prime years of life, like the decade of his 20s at least, wondering what God had in mind, but believing in God that he had something in mind, and in the process was preparing him for a great life that would lead to the salvation of his people. Moses endured the complaints of the wandering Jews, and I tell you, you go back and read Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you wonder, how in the world did one man for 40 years at his age, from 80 to 120, endure the complaints of those people like he did? Hannah kept praying for a son that she would give back to the Lord if she could just receive a son. That son was Samuel. And what a tremendous servant to the Lord that Samuel was. David had to be patient as he was constantly running from his own father-in-law who sought his life because Saul could tell that the Spirit of the Lord had left him and was now in David, who was sure to be his successor. Even Daniel in his captivity in Babylon had to endure threats and the reality of being cast into the lion's den, but his great faith was underneath the outcome of patiently enduring. So these are some examples, and then especially James gives us the example of Job, whose name is synonymous. He wasn't always patient, as we understand patient, because those friends that came to encourage him really discouraged him and caused him to ask a number of tough questions. And those questions were really aimed at God himself. So it wasn't so much that he was patient, but he persevered. He endured unjust, unfair, unexplained suffering. The results of patience in this text, you go to verse 9. A couple of things that are mentioned, that during a time of enduring something, the people of God are not going to grumble. Maybe the word that we would use would be complain. Boy, I violate that not only every day, but several times a day, don't you? Haven't you done quite a bit of complaining during this pandemic? When we should be really grateful that God has given us life. and so far the health to enjoy it. But the one who trusts God is not going to complain, even in the context of sorrow, suffering, and things that we do not understand, problems for which we do not see an immediate solution. Grumbling assumes that God's doing nothing. I don't believe that. I think someone said recently, now that God has our attention as a result of the pandemic, not that he sent it, but now that he has our attention, will we listen? Our history is that when we go through crisis, we fall to our knees before God. But when the crisis is over, we return to our own independence from God. Grumbling also implies a rush to judgment. We make judgment about God, judgments about people, and we do not turn the judgment upon ourselves. Rather, we're experts at judging the intents, the motives, the thoughts, the words, the actions, or the lack of such on behalf of others. Grumbling also makes one miserable. Complaining all the time is a miserable life. But not only that, it makes everybody around you miserable. Nobody wants to be around you. Nobody wants to be with you. Nobody wants to check on you because it's always a complaint about something. James encourages us to remember that we're closer to judgment than we realize. We're closer to the coming of the Lord than we realize. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. But tomorrow is not promised. Today is. And the Lord could come today. So in view of that, the judge is standing at the door, and we need to be very careful about the way that we grumble and complain so easily. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some way we could bite our tongue when we begin to complain about things about really which the person we're addressing or with whom we're sharing a complaint can do nothing, and we can do nothing either but trust that things are going to work in our behalf. And then in verse 12, James says, the one who trusts God will not lie. The word encouragement in the text says, do not swear, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. Swearing was a common practice among the Jewish people of Jesus' day when he talks about it in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't swear by the name of heaven. Don't swear by the earth beneath you. Don't swear by the hair that is on your head, and certainly don't swear in the name of God, because swearing implies I've got to say something more than yes or no to impress the person that I'm addressing that I'm telling the truth. So don't swear at all. So one who trusts God is not going to swear or mislead by lying. There's no need to swear when you tell the truth, and to lie and to swear may appear to give instant advantage to you, but in reality, it has caused people to question your character. And telling the truth is always the right thing to do, and it always pays off in the long run. Oh, I know there can be situations where we think otherwise because we see right here what's right in front of us. We don't see consequences of telling lies. Maybe right here immediately, but especially long term. And one thing we've learned about telling lies is when we tell one, we have to tell another one to cover it up, and another one to cover it up, and another one to cover it up. And it's unending until we realize, I am going to be a person who speaks the truth, even when it hurts. We do not do anyone a favor when we withhold them from them the truth, when we tell them a lie. Cover up. And to do so, that is to tell the truth, honors God and avoids his judgment. These are a few thoughts on the subject of patience that comes really right from the text of James 5, 7 through 12. At 5 o'clock this evening, and we invite you to join us for that particular service, Roy is going to address qualities of this great virtue, which is the first one that Paul mentions when he describes agape love in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love is patient and kind. And that's the kind of person that we want to be. It's the kind of person we want to be with and the kind of people that we want to be around. So let's work on it. Patience is a virtue. Let's make it a virtue that is shown in our lives. As we close today, we want to encourage you that if you have any kind of need during this period, in a live audience where we're worshiping together, we would always be extending the Lord's invitation for someone who wants to become a Christian by repenting of their sins and confessing their faith in Jesus as the Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Or an invitation for someone to come back to the Lord, having fallen away. Or if someone has a need that the church can meet, and especially now, if there is a need that you have that we're not aware of, but that we can help you meet during this time in particular, our office phone number is 731-989-5161, and you can find that always on our website and contact information all the time, 24/7, and there will be a response. So, we thank you today and we close with the last few words of a very special song called The Prayer, written by David Foster and Carol Bayer Sager. It concludes with, "Guide us with faith, give us your grace, and keep us safe." And as we pray that prayer, we do so with great patience. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for giving us your word and for giving us the great lessons on what is virtuous and what is good and what is true. The kind of people that, to the best of our ability, emulate the life and the example of your Son. We fail in doing that so often, but we pray that you will help us, and in particular today, as we think about the need for patience, and especially in the time of this pandemic, that the whole world has to learn this valuable lesson, but help us to especially learn it and teach it and apply it to every situation we're in. We thank you for the church throughout the world. We pray for her. We thank you for the head of that church, Jesus the Christ, your Son and our Savior, and in whose name we pray.